In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Aside from Jesus himself, there's no greater preacher than John the Baptist. In one sentence, he preaches the greatest sermon that any sinner has ever preached. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In this one sentence, all of the scriptures are preached. For all of the scriptures have this ultimate purpose and goal, to point sinners to Jesus, to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. At the dawn of the human race, it was a lamb that Abel offered to God by faith. At the dawn of the Hebrew race, it was a lamb that was sacrificed in the place of Isaac. At the dawn of Israel's freedom, it was a lamb that kept the angel of death away. At the dawn of the Old Covenant, it was a lamb that was at the center of the entire sacrificial system. And now, pointing to Jesus, John says, "Behold the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb whom God Himself puts forth. This is the Lamb that God Himself will slay. This is the Lamb by whom God will make atonement for the sins of the whole world." This is the message and purpose of all the scriptures, of all sermons, of all worship, to point sinners to the Lamb, to Jesus, our Savior. If the sermon doesn't point sinners to Christ, it isn't a Christian sermon. If the worship doesn't point sinners to Christ, it isn't Christian worship. Behold the Lamb of God, John says. But think of all the ways that churches have hidden the Lamb of God so that sinners cannot behold Him. Four ways come to mind. The first way to hide Jesus is also the most subtle. It is to use deeds and creeds to hide Jesus, so that Christianity is less about Christ saving sinners and more about a doctrinal system that must be learned and a set of ethics that must be practiced. The next two ways to hide Jesus are simply variations of this. Some say deeds, not creeds. And the others say, in effect, creeds, not deeds. In deeds churches, Christianity is less about Christ saving sinners and more about your own personal transformation and self-improvement. On the other hand, in creeds churches, Christianity is less about Christ saving sinners and more about your doctrinal knowledge and ability to best others in theological arguments. The fourth way to hide Jesus is simply a kind of reductionism. Neither deeds nor creeds, but Christ only. Which sounds good at first until you realize that in these churches, Christianity is less about Christ saving sinners and more about a made-up Christ who destroys biblical deeds and destroys biblical creeds as if these were legalisms and spiritual slavery. A Christ who sets us free to go on sinning and to believe whatever we want to believe. So what is the antidote to all of this hiding of Jesus? When the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, the very first thing that he taught them was the petition, "Hallowed be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The Catechism points out the rather obvious fact that God's name is completely holy in itself, whether or not we pray about it. So what we're asking is that our Father would keep his name holy among us also. How is God's name kept holy? The Catechism says God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we as the children of God also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. We are to pray that God would lead us in pure doctrine and in holy lives, so that in creed and deed we might proclaim and show forth Christ and Him crucified for sinners. So that in every article of the faith, in all our creeds and doctrines, and so also in every act of mercy, in all our deeds and doings, we are boldly showing forth and proclaiming this sermon of John. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Can we ever do this perfectly as a church or as individuals? If we could, Jesus wouldn't have taught us to pray for it. And if we could, we'd no longer need Jesus as our Savior. The truth is that we are by nature sinful and unclean, glory-centered rather than cross-centered, self-centered rather than Christ-centered. What God says is true. There is none who is righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. The whole world stands guilty before God. Not a single person is righteous in His sight. Not you, not me, not Mother Teresa, not St. Paul, not any saint or guru or mystic. Before the righteous and holy face of Almighty God, Maker of the heavens and the earth, even our good deeds are as filthy menstrual rags. And if this is how our good deeds are, then what of our evil deeds? Each one of us, individually, each in his own way, has turned his back on God. We have rebelled against Him, asserted ourselves and our own wills over His. We deserve to be damned, to be separated from Him forever. But God, in His grace and in His mercy, has turned toward us, turned toward His enemies, and set before us His own beloved Son. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is not my Lamb, nor is He your Lamb. He is the Lamb of God, the Lamb that God Himself puts forth to do what we cannot do and could never do, to accomplish what millions upon millions of sacrifices have not accomplished, to make atonement, to make peace with God. Behold the Lamb, whom God Himself puts forth as a propitiation, as a blood atonement for all sinners, for all sins. Peace with God through the blood of the Lamb, to be received by men as a gift, to be received by faith. For there is no other redemption and no other way. This is the Lamb of God, whom God Himself has put forth to take away the sins of the world. What if the sins of your youth condemn you, reminding you of who you really are? Behold the Lamb of God. What if your own thoughts rise against you, that hidden hatred, those secret lusts, all that scheming and scamming? Behold the Lamb of God. What if your own lips bear witness of what you have made them say? The lies you've told, the reputations you've not protected, those you've murdered with your tongue. Behold the Lamb of God. What if your deeds were all exposed and all that you've done with your body was known and made public? Behold the Lamb of God. What if the course of your whole life is defiled with the most grievous sins? if at the awful judgment seat of God, Satan claims you as his own. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And if the sins of the world, then your sins also. It is not Abel or any other man who puts forward this lamb, but God himself, so that you might believe and thus be declared righteous in his sight. As God once provided a lamb to die in the place of Isaac, God now provides a lamb who has died for you, in your place. His head, not caught in a thicket, but caught in a crown of thorns. He is slain so that you might live eternally. As God once spared his people from the angel of death, if they would paint the blood of the Lamb on their doors, so today at Holy Communion, he paints the blood of the Lamb upon your lips, that the angel of death and hell may have no dominion over you. Behold the Lamb of God. For God has laid his own hand upon this one lamb and laid your sins upon this one lamb so that he might make perfect atonement for you once and for all. Do not fear the condemnation of the devil, the condemnation of the world, or even the condemnation of your own heart. For there is one who is greater than all of these. And he has given his lamb to be sacrificed for you. Therefore, you are righteous and holy in his sight. In the first book, in Genesis, who does God promise? In Revelation, in the last book, who stands in the midst of the throne? From Genesis to Revelation, there is only this one sermon that John the Baptist preaches. Sinners, behold your Savior. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.